The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So over the weekend, obviously, tensions are rising in the conflict between the Israelis, IDF, Mossad, and, you know, what's going on in Lebanon with Hezbollah. And everybody's getting very, very concerned about it. Hundreds and hundreds of rockets being shot by Hezbollah into Israel. Israel shooting rockets in a much more strategic, pinpointed fashion into Lebanon, taking out missile sites and leaders and things of that nature. All of this in the aftermath of the pagers and the radios that blew up, and masterfully done piece of intelligence and executed this plan that they actually, believe it or not, worked on for 15 years. 15 years. Thinking about this opportunity, knowing that they were able to infiltrate any number of communication systems, making Hezbollah leaders aware of same by leaking information, causing them to go to alternative methods, and being nimble enough to stand up shell companies to actually produce these pieces of equipment to blow up. This is how you handle intelligence, and this is how you handle your enemies. You can run, but you can't hide. And they're about to embark on this same scenario in Gaza by moving Palestinians out of a particular area that they believe that Yahya Sinwar is actually located in. He's the new leader after Hamid was taken out in Iran. And over the weekend, Tony Blinken, or I should say, the speaker for the Department of Defense, Kirby, John Kirby, says, "It is certainly apparent to us that Hamas leader Sinwar remains the big obstacle here to getting a deal. And it certainly is the case that he has done nothing in recent weeks to prove he's willing to move this forward in a good faith way." Well, I would say to John Kirby, riddle me this. What move has he ever made, ever, since October 7th, to get you to believe, or the U.S. to believe, or any of their allies, that they had any interest in bringing this to an end? Because I've been following this thing very closely the entire time, and I simply just cannot recall one thing that they've done to make you believe that they were serious about engaging in any agreement with the Israelis, that they would have to take one iota of power out of their hands that they were going to be willing to do. So it's really kind of interesting that, you know, everybody knew that this was the case. Everybody tried to point the finger at the Israelis, saying they're the ones holding everything else. They're just more pragmatic than everyone else. They recognize what these folks are going to be willing to do or what they're not going to be willing to do. If you start from, you know, the place where they want to kill all Jews from the river to the sea, and that's the mantra of the organization, how much is actually left? How do you identify the wiggle room? How do you identify the path in which you're going to diplomatically negotiate down? A very narrow path that narrowed every day as they were killing folks that they still had in custody, hostages, right? They're playing the misdirection, evasion, deflection game with the mainstream media in the United States, who are ignorant enough to just slop it up like dogs at a dog food factory, and believing every word that they have to say, every number that they put out there of the folks that have been killed by the Israelis, every scenario that they describe, Hamas that is, about how the Israelis conducted these military operations. And no matter what the Israelis had to say, they just simply weren't believed. And now, at this point in time, John Kirby has the audacity to go to the podium and say, it is certainly apparent to us that Mr. Sinwar remains the big obstacle here. What a revelation. Now, he goes on to say, we're going to keep trying at this, and you must. That's your role. And this idea that we're just throwing up our hands and it's not going to happen before the end of the term, I can tell you that's not where the president is. It's not where Jake Sullivan is. It's not where Tony Blinken are. He says, referencing the National Security Advisor and the Secretary of State, we still believe that there's a possibility of moving this forward, and we're going to keep trying. These hostages need an effort to get them home. We're not going to give up on that, nor should you. But don't kid yourself and don't kid others. Unless there is a concurrent path of inflicting pain, further pain on Hamas, none of this is going anywhere. The noose around Sinwar's neck has to be tightened. Each and every day, we have to gain where that noose around his neck is being tightened to get him to come to terms with anything that's put up there. You know, this is always about this prisoner swap for hostages, you know, and I would remind the listening public that Sinwar was actually in the custody of the Israelis for a long, long time, not unlike the other leaders of Hamas. And because of other situations and other pressures of, you know, the UN and other participating nations on the Israelis, they set them free, knowing full well they were going to go right back to what they were doing before, try to blow up Israelis, kill Jews. That's what they do for a living. And we kid ourselves, continuing to talk about a two-state solution. It's just absolutely incredulous how this plays itself out. History continues to repeat itself, and we believe that there's going to be another course of action. Meanwhile, this administration's putting no pressure on Iran. I don't know what the big fear is of Iran as it relates to both the Biden administration, and the same approach was taken by Obama. Dump off some cash, maybe we can buy them off. Maybe we can do whatever. They take the cash. They go finance their proxy wars and their proxy terrorist organizations. And it's a vicious cycle that never goes away. And for whatever reason, we have no desire to disrupt the cycle. And at some point, Tom, we're going to have to come to grips with it. And it's not only folks in the U.S. that are saying this. You have many of your Arab, Muslim countries over there that say the same thing. Iran is the problem. And unless Iran is brought into compliance some way, somehow, this is never going away. And Sinwar will continue to be a problem day in and day out.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So over the weekend, let's flip to one of the other things that has become, you know, relevant and is so out there. I mean, and I don't know how anybody is not gaining a better understanding as to what's going on. I will remind you what went on in the city of Aurora. There were some gang members from Venezuela known as Tren de Aragua. Okay? The Aragua Train. This is a group of a gang that started out of Venezuelan prison. Okay? And they don't use any tattoos or anything like that. They predominantly have preyed upon other Venezuelans, plain and simple. They have a major presence in a number of big towns in this country right now. In fact, in Chicago, they're about to have a gang war between some of the traditional black gangs up there and Tren de Aragua. And they're going to have a big turf war. It's brewing. They're already getting preliminary intelligence data on this, and it's gonna end up being bad. We also saw a similar happenstance in Aurora, Colorado. Of course, the city manager there says, well, we have no problem here, no problem at all. But then you go talk to the property management company, who actually talked to the Denver Post, and in the Denver Post, they quote that the property management company overseeing the complexes said the gang had effectively taken over the buildings. They've thrown their arms up in the air. They don't know what to do. They're controlling the property that's owned by somebody else. Now, the Democratic leaders in Aurora, they do not want this to become a political issue, so they're trying to deflect. Remember the old deflect, denial, evade? They don't want to talk about this. They want to move this blister off of the news, but it's not going away. Why? Because Tren de Aragua is going to continue to do what they do best. Disrupt people's lives, human trafficking, sex trafficking. It's all about the flow of the money. They're not going to sit idly by and have no dollars coming in. These folks are revenue generators. By sucking the life of the underbelly of every community that they're going to visit in this country. And we find ourselves at a significant disadvantage. And anybody who knows anything about immigration and coming across these borders knows that there are certain countries that we can get somewhat, and I use that term loosely, reliable information about who these people are that are coming across the borders. And then there are other countries that we have no relationship, that we get little or anything from them relative to the individuals that are coming across the borders. And guess what one of those countries, or who one of those countries might be? You got it. Venezuela. We don't have a relationship with Venezuela. We've not had a good relationship with Venezuela for decades. We've had an oil importation issue with them, but from a human rights perspective, we've had nothing with them. We have sanctioned them repeatedly over and over and over again. Maduro does not like the United States. We do not like Nicolas Maduro. We don't know anything about these folks. We turn to Interpol. Their data is 2 or 3 years behind the curve. They don't really have a lot, and they're very slow in responding to our requests at the border. So what does this mean to you? What does it mean? What it means to you is that we're letting people in that we know nothing about their background. We don't know how violent they are. We don't know if they've been in jail. We don't know if they've been locked up. We don't know their criminal history. We know nothing about their families. It's completely an honor system. From our perspective, they are who they tell us they are. They can completely make up a story about their family, what they've done, where they live, the whole nine yards, and we have no way or no reliable way of validating any of this information in the short term. So what do? We do what the Biden administration loves to do best. We let them into the country. And we have no knowledge about them at all. And then we wonder what happens, why these things are happening across the country, and then we try to deny it. Well, the numbers speak for themselves, right? Since Biden took office in 2021 to 2023, Customs and Border Patrol saw a 421% increase in Venezuelans encountered at the southern border. 421%. And the gang has been active in Texas since 2021. And more than 3,000 illegal immigrants from Venezuela has been arrested in the state of Texas. Right? Not necessarily at the border, but within the boundaries of Texas. And still, to this day, why are we having this problem? This is not a problem. We've got it under control. There's not chaos down there. This has never been a problem. We got it. They don't have anything. They keep lying over and over and over again, and we continue to have stuff revealed to us that is problematic, troubling, and we have no response. We have no way to deal with this problem that we've allowed to rise to the level that it exists today. So now we're behind the proverbial eight ball, right? And when folks are talking about aggressive deportation measures to be had, what they're now trying to do is jade that statement by trying to point out what all the downstream implications would be as it relates to that. Well, what's interesting, and we'll talk about it in the 11 o'clock hour. So the California legislature passed a bill that mandated the UC College, the University of California College System, to employ undocumented students. It's not enough that they're on scholarship. They're undocumented, that they're on scholarship, they're getting money and everything else. They wanted to mandate it that they were going to be employed by the UC system. That bill went to Gavin Newsom. There's another bill where the California Dems want to give non-citizens unemployment. We're waiting to hear on whether or not that is going to be done. The deadline is September 30th. And Gavin Newsom the other day vetoed the bill about giving the money for home ownership to illegal aliens that are in this country. I point this out because you've heard me say this before about citizen privilege, right? So this has become a big political issue with the progressives. And let there be no doubt that Kamala Harris is a progressive. She went so far as to say she wanted government-funded transgender operations of illegal aliens in our prison system. Now, they may not have been great in number, right? But doesn't it speak volumes about where one is willing to go relative to this sector of the population that comes to this country uninvited? I mean, this is the way I grew up, when you have uninvited folks, that this is what you do. You give them money, you educate them, you give them health care, you give them all the rights, privileges, immunities, and everything else that other invited guests get, because it's all about parity. Remember that term equity, and remember what Kamala said. It's not necessarily where you start, it's where you end. And where you end needs to be parity with all others. This is a progression of bills that have been filed, and don't think it's not going to be knocking on a door near you before too very long. We're trying to figure out how to set up a tax system, not only in this state and other states, to be more fair to its citizens. Meanwhile, increasing debt, increasing obligations, increasing expenditures to those who are just arriving here uninvited. I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me. Does it make much sense to you? We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.